All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, here with David Drogemeyer and John Kegley, a.k.a. the host of the Chargers Domination Live podcast, which we started from scratch 3 years ago. And this is our third season covering the Chargers. We've been into training camp. We've interviewed the players, every big name that talks about the Chargers in this market. And now we're here with Locked On Chargers to bring you guys something daily as opposed to one show per week that we were doing before. Football is back and the first preseason game is here against the Cardinals. How you doing, David?
I am doing fantastic and I could not be more excited to watch preseason football, guys. I know that's crazy to say, but I am a huge football fan. I'm an even bigger Charger fan. And I am so excited, John, and I know you are, to actually watch some Chargers football in 2018.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. I know it's only preseason, but there is Chargers uniforms with a scoreboard. I want to watch this game.
Yeah, and more importantly, there are Chargers cheerleaders, which lets you know that it is official. It's not going to be a home game. They're playing in Arizona. But there's a lot of things for us to look at, guys. So that's what today we're going to talk about. First, we're going to get into something a little bit funner, and that's the Chargers Madden rankings. Madden just came out, and we're going to tell you who the top Chargers are on the Chargers on the new Madden NFL 2019. So that's kind of cool. And then we're going to talk about what we're excited to see from this first preseason game. Obviously, you take it all with a grain of salt. But there's a couple specific things we want to talk about on the offensive and defensive sides of the football and what you should make a big deal about and what we'd like to call irrelevant otherwise besides that. But, hey, guys, I mean, you're not a true football fan if you've never played Madden. I mean, it's the number one football game that there is. We're also going to talk about who's on the roster and the first official depth chart of the season, which came with a couple surprises. But for Madden, guys, the number one Madden player for the Chargers in the 19 is Keenan Allen with a 92, followed by Hayward, 91, Bosa, 90, Melvin Ingram, also a 90, then Melvin Gordon, 89, Hunter Henry, 88, and Phillip Rivers, 87. David, do you have any issues with what these guys are rated in Madden?
Yeah, I do, man. And honestly, I did not expect to have them put Melvin Gordon ahead of Phillip Rivers. I know Melvin, you know, ran over 1,000 yards last year, caught several touchdowns through the year, 470-plus receiving yards. And, you know, he had a pretty good year, but I don't think he was on the same level as Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers did a great job of cutting his interceptions down to only 10, went for over 4,500 passing yards, started every game like he always does, and I just don't know if he's a better player than Phillip Rivers, so I kind of feel like he should be rated higher. I love Melvin Gordon. I think he has a lot of potential. I think he has a lot of talent, but I don't think he's at that Phillip Rivers level yet.
Well, and when you have a speed of 62 and an acceleration of 64 of Phillip Rivers and an agility of 59, I mean, it's definitely going to bring some of your points down, but obviously we know that's not part of Phillip Rivers' game, and he's been an elite quarterback without it, John. Any of these names that you take issue with?
Well, I would have to say it wouldn't be so much the names, it would be the numbers. Saying that Joey Bosa is only a 90, when he should be maybe like a 96, Phillip Rivers should be at least fourth on this list. He's at 87. He should be around a 94, 95. This list is kind of a joke with the numbers-wise. If Keenan Allen's our best player and is a 92, you're telling me we don't have a player that's at least a 97 on this team? This team is full of talent, and 92 is not our greatest strength.
Well, and especially when you're basing, I mean, Melvin Gordon, you're basing that just on the physical attributes, obviously not what he's done on the field. I know he's been a good running back, but he hasn't been a great running back by any means. And David, I think this is indicative of the Chargers kind of getting a little bit robbed on the Madden game overall. So I think, I mean, the Chargers are definitely undersold in this game. And I think you're seeing it here because, yeah, I think Phillip Rivers should be in the 90s. I think Joey Bosa is good enough to be middle 90s, I would say. But, I mean, when Travis Benjamin is in the top 10 of overall points on this list, I don't know if it's something you can take seriously either way.
Yeah, and again, it's a video game, but think about this, guys. They actually have somebody that they send around to practices and training camps to reevaluate the overall level of players. So that's pretty cool. I think as the season progresses, players are going to adjust to the level of where I think we see that they should be at.
Especially if the Chargers get hot. I mean, I think you'll see players start to shoot up. I mean, there was a lot of 99s this year, too, in Madden, which is really surprising. The Chargers don't have a player over 93. I think you could say Keenan Allen, Casey Hayward, and Joey Bosa could all be 93 or better. And I don't think we all think that Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are the same level. I think we can all see Joey Bosa is just better than Melvin Ingram is, even though Melvin Ingram's a great player. To be able to stand out like that, I mean, he should get more respect. But another thing, guys, something a little bit more official, but another thing we can't take too seriously, is an unofficial depth chart of the Chargers was released, I mean, pretty early into the offseason and training camp. There's a couple things on here, guys, that are notable to me. I think one of the notable things is Braden Bowman being listed behind Virgil Green but ahead of Sean Colkin on the depth chart. I think it's another thing with Caleb Sturgis being above Roberto Aguayo, even though we've heard so far that Caleb Sturgis has missed more than twice as many kicks as Roberto Aguayo, which is my worst nightmare, basically, because, I mean, of course. But is there anything, guys, on here that jumps out to you? Obviously, keeping in mind that this is a very early look at the depth chart.
So, starting on the offensive side of the ball, it is kind of interesting to see that Cardale Jones and Geno Smith are listed as co-backups.
Yeah.
For me, I think that's pretty funny because reports from training camp have told us that Cardale's really been struggling and Geno's kind of been running away with things. So obviously no preseason games have been played yet, and I think that's going to determine a lot who really is going to take this backup position when things are all said and done. Again, it's an unofficial depth chart, but still, I don't see them both at the same level.
Yeah, well, and when Kellen Clemens can't get pushed off the roster by you, Cardale Jones, you might have already seen your best chance to take over that backup position. John, what does the roster say to you so far, the depth chart?
I'm kind of surprised that Scott Quisenberry is ranked as the fourth string center behind Cole Toner, Spencer Pulley, and Mike Pouncey, when I could easily put him as the second string and maybe the third string because Spencer Pulley did play last year at center. But the fact that he's fourth string kind of surprised me.
But he's backup at guard, John. Doesn't that mean anything?
Not really, because I could see him ahead of Cole Toner. I mean,
I just don't think on an unofficial depth chart they're going to give the same guy two backup roles. I don't think they're going to have the same guy be the backup right guard and also the backup center, and also the backup left guard. It just didn't seem like that's really how they were doing it.
But fourth string behind Cole Toner.
But where else are you going to put Cole Toner?
Put him at fourth string and then put Quisenberry at third string. Like, if Quisenberry was actually a center coming out of college, and now he's the fourth string center behind all these guys, and they're looking at him as the backup guard. Like, that's something that is questionable to me.
On the defensive side of the ball, something that's kind of interesting is they are labeling Rayshon Jenkins as the starting free safety.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think you have to keep an eye on. I did mention on our earlier shows that they are going to give Rayshon Jenkins every opportunity to start, but to see them actually pencil him in as of now as the starter is pretty interesting, and I think he's going to have to show through that he's ready for that role.
Well, and David, I think the other interesting part about that is all we had heard was Derwin James being played as strong safety, but then you look at this unofficial depth chart and you see him as the second ranked free safety, as the backup free safety, not strong safety. So I think that's another thing to look forward to. But like we said, this is the unofficial depth chart. We will see much more. I mean, just because we're going to see who plays this weekend, and we're going to see who plays and in what order. And I think that'll give us a better example of what the depth chart is actually going to look like. And I mean, since we're talking about the depth chart going into the first weekend of football, guys, it's got to talk about how are you going to go see the game. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to see it with Vivid Seats. I mean, do something nice for yourself. Your girlfriend just bought some new makeup. Go buy yourself a ticket to the game. Go have fun with your friends, drink some beer, and get your tickets with VividSeats.com. Oh, also, you can save money by going to Vivid Seats. Right now, if you use our promo code LOCKEDON, you can save 10% off your first purchase. That's promo code LOCKEDON. This offer is good until the end of August, and all Vivid Seats are backed by a 100% guarantee, so you don't have to be worried about getting shut down at the door. Everyone likes to go to the game and be in the action, you guys. Go see the Chargers next weekend against the Seahawks in their first home game and get your tickets with Vivid Seats.
So I think it's going to be interesting to watch on the offensive side of the ball a couple of positions that are up for grabs. Like for me, a battle I'm going to be really paying attention to is the tight end position. I think that there's a huge hole there, obviously, with Hunter Henry out. Antonio Gates still out there, not signed. You got Virgil Green as your starter, who has been a career blocking tight end. And so I think the backup tight end position as it stands right now is wide open. And I think in this game is going to be the first opportunity for the backup guys to say, hey, I want to take that backup position and make it my own. So you're going to be looking at guys like Sean Colkin, Brandon Bowen, even undrafted guys like Ben Johnson. So we'll see what these guys bring to the table. That's what I'm going to be looking for on the offensive side of the ball. Daniel, what about you? What are you going to be looking at?
Well, just first off, David, to piggyback off what you were saying, I mean, we know that if the Chargers don't bring anyone else in, and who knows if they're planning on bringing in Gates after training camp, I don't think we think he needs it. I mean, this is the first chance to see, I mean, this group of guys that they've felt confident enough in so far to not bring anyone else into camp, even though there's a seemingly glaring need for a tight end and a veteran presence besides Virgil Green. And that's where I think that depth chart pops up, you guys, because Sean Colkin was on the Chargers last year and he stayed around but didn't really get any playing time. And right now, Braden Bowman is already scheduled in front of him and is looking like he'll get the first chance to show what he can do on the field in the preseason against the Cardinals. And I think that's a huge chance for Braden Bowman. I'm really excited to see him right there even give me a hope that someone has already passed Sean Colkin, who they were willing to give a roster spot to last year. I think that's huge for him. And I think, I mean, the other person, the obvious person, guys, that we have to be excited to see on offense is Mike Williams. All the talk has been about Mike Williams. We know he's a physical freak. I mean, one of the things I've heard the most is just people being surprised when they are around Mike Williams. NFL Network just got done at Chargers camp, and he was all the talk. I mean, they just say, you know it when you see it. These super natural athletes, and that's what Mike Williams is. Said in an interview that his back is feeling a lot better, and the biggest thing that's helped him so far is last year he was getting numbness in his legs due to his back injury and he couldn't contort his body around to get his body in the right position to make catches mid-air and going up for jump balls and really contorting his body. So I mean, guys, I think every single Charger fan, I mean, even the haters that think he's a bust and don't want him to be a bust, really, I think everyone's excited to see what Mike Williams can do, John. He's the person I've heard most about on offense during this camp.
It has been a long time waiting, but yes, we all are finally going to get to see Mike Williams and what he is made of. I've waited since I predicted us drafting him in the first round to see what he's made of, and then having the back injury come out, I was like, oh, God, here we go. All these guys, David and Daniel, are going to be on me that I predicted us picking an injured player. And now for him to come out finally, and he'll have a lot of preseason time, I believe, to try to get his body into the game condition, if you will, to play to avoid more injuries. I think it's going to be a fun thing to see. One of the things I want to see is I want to see who's going to get that third string running back position since Justin Jackson got a hamstring injury. So Russell Hansborough and Detrez Newsome both are going to have a nice little fight here to try to prove they're above Justin Jackson, who we drafted but has gotten a hamstring injury. And I want to see Zachary Crabtree. I want to see this guy take over that right tackle position or even the left tackle position. This guy is from Oklahoma State, and I predicted that he would be on this roster by the end of camp. This dude is 6'7", 310 pounds. I think he is literally the most underrated offensive lineman on this roster.
The offensive line is another part, guys, where we're going to see some fierce competition, especially with Forrest Lamp not in training camp yet and on the PUP list so far that we haven't seen him. And I think he has a starting spot, but until he comes back, guys, that starting spot is up for grabs. And right now, yes, Michael Schofield has it, and it's his to lose, but I think it has to give everyone on this offensive line, David, just some hope that, hey, there's a spot out there. There's at least a chance for me to get in there while somebody's injured and show what I can do, so by the time that person comes back, they can't afford to get rid of me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, Daniel. I mean, I think they have to take this opportunity while there is a potential starting spot open on the offensive line to showcase their ability, because when Forrest Lamp comes back, we all know he has the talent to step in and contribute right away. But, you know, he has to show that he's healthy and that he can go get it done.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, the only winner of, the most important player on the offense is the athletic trainer who has to stay on the sideline. And as long as the athletic trainer can stay on the sideline, the Chargers offense will be fine. No, but seriously, there's a lot of spots up for grabbing this offense, guys. And I really just want to touch on the kicker thing real quick. Caleb Sturgis, don't blow this. I'm serious. Do not blow this, please. I mean, we saw what happened last year with Younghoe Koo, who supposedly did better in training camp, and they felt comfortable enough to bring him into the regular season. And what a disaster that was. I told you guys on another show that my worst fear is that Roberto Aguayo is going to make everything during training camp, and Caleb Sturgis is going to miss everything. And there is really going to have to be some decision, even though Caleb Sturgis got a 2-year deal. And right now, it's actually playing out that way, guys. I'm terrified that Roberto Aguayo could actually be the guy right now that has a chance of making this roster, when I was hoping that Caleb Sturgis would just run away with it. So let's hope that Caleb Sturgis can make all of his kicks on Saturday.
Well, and I think in training camp, you know, you can make your kicks all day long. That's great. But it all comes down to what you're going to do on Sunday and in game time. So until they perform on the football field, I take their performances in training camp with a grain of salt.
All right, guys. I know for me, when I went to the gym, it was about $60 a month at least. And that didn't even come with a personal trainer. I didn't even have the person there to motivate me and get me to show up, because that would have cost me another couple of $100, guys. And that's, I mean, no one really has that kind of money to just throw away every month. I have a better option for you. It's Nordic Track. Nordic Track has a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your own home. You don't even have to leave your dog. You can do the workouts with your dog. They have treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers. You can enjoy high-energy streamed workouts. You don't need to pay extra for a personal trainer, because the workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. Yeah, you're not getting out of the house, but guess what, guys? With the screens that come with Nordic Track, you get to pretend you're anywhere on Earth. You can be going through the African safari or walking on the shores of Thailand. It can transport you out of your house to somewhere way cooler, and you don't even have to be around a bunch of other sweaty people. And the best part about it, guys, is with the special offer for Locked On listeners. Listeners get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code Locked On. Again, visit nordictrack.com/lockedon and use the offer code Locked On, like Locked On Chargers, during checkout to save $75 off your purchase.
A couple of things that's going to be a focal point in these preseason games are changes to the rule book that are greatly going to affect the way the game is played. And I think one of the biggest rule changes is leading with the crown of the helmet. I think that's going to change how the game is played. And I think the players are going to have to learn how to adjust and play within the rules. And I think it's going to really cause some issues.
Yeah, and you just hope it doesn't take away any of the edge of the Chargers' defense. And it'll be interesting to see in the first preseason game. That's one of the things to look for on the defensive side of the ball is how do these calls affect the Chargers-specific players. And I think the one that jumps off the top is Jahlil Adai. That's the first person you think of as someone who has a history of leading with his head, whether he's going high, whether he's going low. I mean, he has seemed to be able to evolve, guys, and kind of make his game fit within the constructs of the rule. But now you're just throwing another rule into it, John. And I don't know if it's going to be a problem for Jahlil Adai, but I can already see myself screaming at my television over some of these calls, especially if they're going to be called with the frequency they were in the Hall of Fame game and just with the total lack of clarity we have behind the rulings of that game.
Yeah, the rule is pretty ridiculous. There's some parts of it where it's like, okay, make leading with the crown of your helmet. That means putting your head completely down and putting it into a guy, which is a neck injury issue. But there's times where guys were in the Hall of Fame game flying with their shoulder and their helmet happened to make first contact, and that is also against the rule because the helmet was the first contact. Unless it's your face mask, none of the helmet can make the first contact, and yet they made a completely bad call in the Hall of Fame game on that rule. And it's going to be really, really hard this year to watch a game where you look at it and you go, whoa, that's obviously not a bad play, but in real time, the referee went, it looked like to me the helmet hit the player first, so 15 yards, and you could be ejected.
Yeah, and I think you can't even really see a lot of times, John, without the use of instant replay and slow motion, whether these guys' helmets are really hitting. And I think that's another part to differentiate, you guys. The helmet-to-helmet rule is still in effect. So there was like four flags basically on calls like this in the last game, and they weren't all just the lowering your helmet foul. A couple of them were just the standard helmet-to-helmet unnecessary roughness penalty. So I think that's something to keep in mind as well. But I think, guys, it's just obviously your first thing is to think about is the safety of the players. And yes, this, I mean, could stop some injuries as far as neck injuries and plays like that. But you guys, it's really hard to lead with your shoulder without having your head kind of follow directly behind it. So in that essence, I don't really understand the rule. It's supposed to be something that could be called on either side of the ball. If a running back, for example, lowers his helmet to initiate contact with a defender. But it seems like it's one of those is going to, I mean, really get called only on the defense, which is really poor to see just on something else getting thrown in there. Even with the safety of the game, I hate the people that say, oh, it's going to be flag football, but you would hate to see it keep losing resemblance of a game that we used to all love more than now when the game was more physical, but we knew less about the head trauma. Guys, who are we looking forward to seeing on the defensive side of the ball? I really want to see DeJuan Hines. I know it said that he's a outside linebacker, but I really could see him playing more inside. And the other guy I want to see in person is Derwin James. Duh. I mean, I can't wait to see what this guy's speed and skill looks like when he's put on the field with other NFL talent, you guys. And to see, I mean, really, if he is as explosive and instinctual as people have said that he is, obviously he came to camp with a non-football-related injury, but I'm really hoping to see him on the field on Saturday, guys.
And I completely agree with you. I think Derwin James has been touted as a absolute weapon as a Swiss Army knife. I want to see how they're going to use him and his very diverse skill set, you know, with his ability to, you know, really, you know, get in the box and make plays from there and rush the quarterback and, you know, use his speed as a free safety. I just want to know how they're going to use him. I mean, he's so talented. I just want to know what Gus Bradley's plan for Derwin James is.
Well, and the other player that I just want to actually see instead of hearing talk is Isaac Rochelle. You know, he's been the talk of the offseason. He's gotten a lot of praise from his coaching staff, and now I want to see him. You're going to be getting a lot of time against a lot of second and third string guys, Isaac Rochelle. Now is your time to really show what improvements you've made going into the regular season, John, and I want to see it. Now is the time for action. We've heard the words. We've heard the praise. It's time to see it on the field and see which of these guys balls out and deserves to be on this team.
I want to see Isaac Rochelle as well and Chris Landrum. I want to see how they do as the backup pass rushers. We know Boza and Ingram are the main guys. They are the duo. But we got to figure out who the backups are in case something happens to those guys. And who better to see this against than the Cardinals' backup QB, Josh Rosen, the first-round draft pick out of UCLA, who is a pocket-presence quarterback. We can see this weekend, will Rochelle and Landrum create pressure on a pocket-presence quarterback, or is he going to sit there with no pressure at all, just willingly throwing the ball to receivers? It's going to be something for me to watch.
It's all preseason, guys, so don't take too much credence as we wrap up this preview of the first preseason game. A lot of this stuff doesn't matter. It's still the preseason. A lot of it's going to be overblown. But don't worry, because on our next show, we'll tell you the real stuff you should be caring about and the stuff that probably shouldn't matter as much because, again, it is preseason. I don't even think we're going to really see the starters, you guys. I mean, maybe a series, but I think we're going to see very, very little of the starters this weekend, so don't get your hopes up too much.
Yeah, usually week one is about one series, and then week three is when they play like full three quarters.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC, and you can give us your comments and concerns and your questions. We'd be happy to answer them. Also, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. And we'll be back with you after the first preseason game. Hopefully we see some good stuff and see everything we wanted to out of the team this weekend. But hey, it's still preseason. The wins and losses don't count for anything. We will see you next week, guys. Let's go, Chargers. Go Bolts.